Let's turn back to Psalms 1 this morning. Only got one page of notes today, so maybe it'll go a little better. Psalm 1. He's talking about them church bulletins. And it one every Sunday. Every Sunday. And it's part of the work, part of the week's work is to figure out what to put in it and try to find something that might go along with maybe what's being talked about this Sunday and, you know, theme it a little bit. Remember to put people's names in it and all that stuff. But have you ever found church bulletins from 30 years ago?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they're just like very endeared, you know. I don't know what it is, but it's just a day out of the life of a church.
And back here a while back and found some of our old ones from several years ago.
Yeah.
And I was astounded at the people on our prayer list.
Yes.
They were dead.
Yeah. Here a while back, a girl sent me a picture of a bulletin that she found, a girl we know, and it was from after Grandma passed, and it was from Victory, and they'd put a poem of hers in there.
Yeah, I think I've got
that. And I'd forgot about that. But it was really neat. She said, look what we've... They were going through her mother's stuff and found it. And so that's why, you know, I've tried to make my kids quit coloring on them and things like that. It bothers me to see that. Because they're, you know, they're not holy, but they're important. You'll appreciate them more someday, I guess. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to talk about today, what we're going to talk about is going to be in verse 3. We've talked about some of the different, you know, things that about the counsel of the ungodly, and it's kind of established what that is really, and the possibilities of where you could go with it from there just on that subject are, you know, endless really. I mean, it could really be, you know, distilled down to be something a lot more potent than what I gave you, but this, you know, we're going to move on through here. In verse 3, he shall be like a tree. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, like a tree. You know, if you read the Psalms, you can see how David, he would take and he would write, you know, figuratively about the things that he knew about. He would write about things that are spiritual in a figurative way, comparing them to things that he knew about in his life, like being a shepherd. Or, you know, being in the wilderness and things like that he referred to. Even when the Lord sent Nathan to tell him what he did, he started out with a story about a sheep. Because he knew that was the way to get to his heart. You know, he knew that's how David thought, how he worked. And I don't know if you, there's a lot of things in our lives and all of us got different things we do for a living and things like that. But, you know, there's things that I think the Lord puts in here on purpose because, I don't know, you ever feel like the Lord put something in the Bible just for you? I've felt that way before. You know, trees. I think all of us in here in some way or another have or still do make our living with a tree. And, you know, I think back on my life about how much my life has revolved around a tree.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of us being in the timber or sawmilling or even what I do with them. Something totally different. But still, it all starts with this little sprout. We've been clearing this patch of ground there beside our house for the last couple of years, and we've been going through it real slow because I want every little sprout cut down. And it's a whole lot of sawbriars in there too, and poison ivy. So we have to wait till winter time so that my kid's face don't swell shut every time we get out there messing with it. So we take a patch a year and just we're slowly clearing it. But it's amazing to me, Miss Fox that lived next door to us, that was our neighbor, told us that the old man that owned that place, at one time, he had that whole patch we're clearing. He had it cleared. Doing just what we're doing with it right now. And where he could take his mower in there and clean it out. You sure can't tell it now. In just a few short years, the forest just took it back. There's so many places that there was a picture one time that me and David took on the bridge down there at Big Brushy, that flat bridge, you know, the slab. And we did that because we had seen a picture of y'all when y'all was kids with Grandma Sylvie on that same bridge, you know, so we kind of recreated the picture, but with us there. And when you compare those two pictures, it don't even look like it's in the same place. If the bridge and that slab didn't look like it does, you wouldn't even be able to tell it's the same place because of all the trees that have grown up. You know, and I asked Grandpa about it, and he said, well, that all used to be farm ground in there. They farmed it. Well, how, I look at it now, and it's hard for me to imagine what that must have looked like being cleared for farm ground, because it sure don't look like that now. The woods just took it back. It don't take very long for that to happen. And so while I've been clearing this ground and you know, looking at all these little sprouts that come up, I mean, it's unbelievable how many come up, you know. And seeds that fall on the ground will sprout in all kinds of different conditions, but that's a whole nother sermon there concerning seeds. In this verse here where he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, all these little sprouts sprout up everywhere. But if the woods stay there long enough, all those little trees don't make it. You know, the strongest and the biggest take over and they choke out. They take the resources, they take the water and they take the light. Some places aren't real conducive for a little tree to grow. You know, I worked with Kenny there for all them years in Virginia, and we planted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trees. That's landscaping. So, man, I planted a lot. I dug a lot of holes and planted a lot of trees. And because we were in the landscaping business, part of our job was to come back and take care of them and make sure that they took root, you know. So I learned about some things then about trees and planting them. And when I read this verse, there's so many things I can make connection to in my memory concerning the things that I have learned about trees. And it's really neat how the Bible just already exists. It's what I was telling somebody last night. It's how you can tell when something's divinely inspired, because it's not bound in a certain realm of time, like a certain era of time. It's not confined by that cage. It spans all realms of time, and it's relevant from the beginning to the end, from the beginning of time till now. And that's how I can tell in a lot of ways, I think, how something's been divinely inspired. Because God he's not bound in the constructs of time. And so anything that comes from him isn't either. And so ever since the first, you know, light shone on the earth and he created seeds and things, stuff's been sprouting and growing. And as much as the world tries to make you believe about pollution, and there is a lot of stuff that shouldn't be, I think. People ain't very good stewards of what the Lord's give us. But despite that, you can go out here and dig a hole and plant something in the ground and it'll come up. You know, Wyatt's been tapping maple trees here for the last few weeks, and it's amazing to me how that they respond even in the coldest of weather and the harshest of elements. If that sun hits those limbs that are sticking way up there in the air just a little bit, they'll go to running again. It's just, they can't help but spring forth with life. And trees, you know, he said, you'll be like a tree. Well, who? Well, he's talking about the guy in the verse before, the one who delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'd be like a tree planted. You know, there's trees that grow up like them sprouts I was talking about in our woods there that are just, you know, they just spring up wild. Wherever the seed lands, and if it can get a hold, it'll grow. And they just spring up everywhere. But then there's trees that are planted on purpose by people in certain places. You ever, you know, we used to go over there to the orchards with the Mexicans in Virginia, and, you know, thousands of acres between all them different orchards of apple trees and pear trees and peach trees, and planted there on purpose and cared for with much care so that they would produce the most. And, you know, they didn't go find the rockiest shelf outcropping on the hill and plant a row of apple trees, little sprouts. No. Boy, they'd till the ground up, and they would plant these sprouts, and they'd take care of them. They'd fence them off so the deer couldn't get to them, and they'd take care of them until they got big enough to start producing. You know, they were planted. These trees, it amazes me, along a creek somewhere, you know, the water will get up, and it'll just wash everything away except these certain trees down through there. And it's neat to me to see them. Me and John went down a creek bottom the other day looking at some little trees that he was telling me I could have, some cedars down through there. And there was this one old cedar tree, and we'd been seeing it for quite some time. He told me he might want to make a sign out of it someday or something for him. But when you go, and it looked big from the road, but when you get down in there where it's at, I mean, this old tree has been there a long time. And it's like I told him, I said, you know, I've spent part of my life cutting down lots of trees, and some of y'all spend a lot more time than me cutting down trees. But some of them you walk up to, and it's just almost like, you know, I think I'll just leave this one here. You know, we've talked about trees that get hit by lightning and get killed, have been there a long time, and it's almost like we're sad for it because it's been there so long. You know, that tree y'all cut down over there on the Woolard's old farm that was hollow, you know, that I think how long that tree had been standing there in that field. Hundreds of years. There's trees that's been standing for thousands of years. Hard to believe, but they're there. And you want to try to make the spiritual application of this to your life. You know, why would he compare people to trees? Well, because, you know, there's all kinds of different trees that bear all kinds of different fruit, that spring up in all kinds of different places. Some of them make it, and some of them don't. Some of them, you know, are planted on purpose with good intent, and they don't wind up, you know, there's just a lot of different ways you can go with this. So let's just go through this verse. He be planted. He's not, if a person is planted like a tree, you know, it don't ever get big and grow to fruition and bear fruit and be a blessing to people unless it stays right there. You know, it can't be uprooted or dug up or even transplanted, you know, every couple years and ever expect there to be something good come out of it, you know. You've heard of the Japanese art of bonsai, where they take trees, a regular tree, and they'll stun it. And they'll put wires around its branches and make them grow certain ways. And they're a novelty. But when you think about what they really are, it's kind of sad. And the way they do it is that they constantly transplant that tree. And it stunts its growth. They clip its roots. They clip its branches. Like precisely certain ways they do it so that that tree don't ever grow. It becomes to where it looks like a mature tree, but it's not. It's small. And it might even, I've seen them where they even like take a lemon tree or an orange tree and make it bear fruit, but the fruit's just a little bitty. It's almost sad in a way. It's a neat thing that somebody has figured out how to do it, but you know, the principle here is that if you're constantly spiritually being uprooted from here and put over here, or you get blowed over here by this and pulled up and put over here, you'll never amount to anything. You're going to stunt yourself at best. You'll just be stunted spiritually. They won't never grow into anything that's productive or anything that's a blessing or anything, even the purpose God intended for you to be. You know, I know people that, and I've been that person. That's just, you know, every time you turn around, there's some new thing come along and they change what they believe about this or that or the other. And spiritually, they're just uprooting themselves and planting themselves literally right beside where they were. But now, you know, you've added a whole another couple years to the growth process. If you know, all them trees we planted in those yards, we had to really tend to them for at least a year so that the root ball would kind of get a hold. And, you know, especially everybody liked planting maples, you know, because they turn so pretty in the fall. And sometimes it would take a maple tree 2 or 3 years to get good and rooted before it would actually then produce the right, even chemically, in the tree, enough to produce pretty leaves and stuff. You know, in the years where we have drought and things like that, the leaves on the trees that are established aren't even as pretty. And it's you know, it's because of where they're planted. Now, the ones down along the creek, they'll be pretty even when it's dry everywhere else. There where A and 49 come together, that farm down through there. There's a creek runs down through there on the backside of his farm up against them hills. And there's maples and sycamores and stuff down through there that in the fall, we all enjoy them because they're just so pretty. And, you know, they're planted by a river. So, you know, first order of business, you got to stay planted. There's something that'll help you be that way. It's delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating in it day and night. First thing it'll make you be, planted. It'll give you some stability in your life spiritually, which will then affect your stability in life physically. You know, there's just some stability that comes along with being planted. Planted in a good church, planted in somewhere where you can be fed spiritually, you know. All right, by the rivers of water. Planted by the rivers of water. Like I said before, I almost got ahead of myself, but all them little sprouts that spring up don't survive. You know, some of them spring up because there's moisture in them leaves where that seed falls, but when they start trying to put them roots down, there's nothing there. You know, we've got elm trees that grow around the house there, and they're real bad for finding water. Them roots will grow under the ground. We took, and I've got, well, there's elm trees probably 30 feet from the end of the house. And right there off the end of the house here a few years ago, I made 4 3-foot by 8-foot long raised bed garden boxes and filled them full of real good dirt and planted tomatoes in them. And boy, they did so good. And then that fall, we pulled them all out and threw them in the fire and put everything to bed. And I went back the next spring to dig it all up. And the ones that was closest to them elm trees was all full of elm roots. Them roots had grown under the ground and then went and climbed up through the bottom of those boxes and filled my tomato, my garden beds full of just real, like hair, real fine, fine roots. They found the water. Because I watered those beds real good all summer long. And those trees found, them roots found the water. You don't have to be planted in the creek to find water. But the ones that make it, they don't go nowhere and they'll find water. They put down them roots. And, you know, once again, the analogy here about the Word, what is the Word of God? It's compared to water so much. The washing of the Word of God. You'll make it through the dry times if your roots are right there where it says in verse 2 what you're supposed to be rooted in. The law of the Lord. And delighting in it and meditating on it. It's what will get you through the dry times. You know, your tree, what's the next thing it says? Bringeth forth its fruit. Planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. I got a hickory tree that y'all have heard me talk a whole bunch about right there off the end of my shop. And it's big. And it's a real blessing in the summertime because of it gives off two kinds of fruit. One of them is shade in the form of leaves, and it really helps me in the summertime. It also gives off another kind of fruit that is not a very big help, and that's them big old giant hickory nuts, thousands of them that fall out of that tree. But it gives off its fruit. That tree, I've thought about it a lot of times, about digging it up and like cutting it, just getting it down and gone so I could build something there. But there's part of me that almost, I mean, I'll probably do it someday, but I kind of hate to. Even though there's the good and the bad that come with it, that thing's been there a long time, and it serves a really good purpose. You know, it brings forth its fruit. It never fails. It don't matter how cold it gets. It don't matter how dry it gets. It don't matter how much the wind blows or how many limbs I cut off of it or whatever. Every spring, long before it ever gets warm, it's already got buds all over the tree. Hickories always come first, and because they're tough. And it is just covered in buds again already. It's just ready to go. It's just sitting, waiting on go to start bringing forth fruit. And, you know, it's that way because it's been there a long time. It's been established there a long time. It's put roots down real deep. And I've heard you talk about, Grandpa, about, you know, the hardest ones in the woods to push out with a skidder. An elm or a hickory. You just about can't ride them over and break them down. They just spring back. You can go back 2 years after somebody's cut timber and all the hickory trees in the skid roads will be growed back. They'll be crooked, but they'll be there. Because they put down roots first. They grow them deep. Why? So they can get some water. And so they can bring forth some fruit. You know, I was reading over in Matthew, and it's in several different places in the New Testament there, in the Gospels. But Jesus comparing the kingdom of heaven is like unto a tree. Mustard tree. That's what he called it. And what he was talking about in reference to that was that, you know, he said the fowls of the air come and build their nest in the branches thereof. And, you know, that's a whole other subject matter there. But even what we're talking about here, if the kingdom of God's like a tree, and even the birds of the air, which have a bad connotation in the Word of God, they're compared to the world, and that if they can benefit somehow from it, even in their state, you know, we're supposed to be the same way. The kingdom of God's in us, right? That's what he said. And we're supposed to be like a tree. When you think about the blessing that a tree is, if it's placed in the right spot and it gives off something besides hickory nuts, what if it's a big, pretty apple tree or a peach tree, something that gives you something back and everyone benefits from it and it's such a blessing, or like a pecan tree. I've always thought it'd be nice to have a pecan tree because I love pecans, and it'd be so neat to go out there and pick them up. I remember one time we was down at in Georgia to Harry Nix's, I think.
Mississippi.
Was it? And we was at his church. And they had pecan trees in the churchyard. And there was just pecans all over the ground. Boy, I thought that was the neatest thing. You know, if it's a tree that gives forth its fruit, does just the good things benefit from it? No. You know, the birds of the air that come build their nest in that tree, they eat the fruit of it too. There's a tree down in our yard, down towards the bottom of the tree, and it's I believe it's a Bradford pear. I don't like it. It's, you know, kind of an ugly tree, but I hate to just cut them all down because it takes so long to grow back, you know. But this one down there, I've thought before, you know, that thing ain't worth nothing. It ain't really even a pretty tree, and it don't give off. But you know why I haven't cut it down? Because even though the fruit that comes off of it, I can't eat it. There's a whole lot of little critters that do. Come in there most of the time at night on a Sunday night, and we come home a little bit later. A Wednesday night, we come home a little bit later. You pull in the driveway, and there'll be an old possum over there under the tree in the wintertime eating Bradford pears. In the daytime, we've got four little deer that come out now, and they aren't afraid of us at all. I can be right there running the chainsaw and everything, and they're hungry. So they eat those pears that have fell off that tree. And, you know, they benefit from what that tree produces. You know, the Lord made it that way, where everything in this world benefits in some way from what a tree produces. You know, a hickory nut's got something good in the hickory nut, but it's sure hard to get to. But you know who don't have no trouble getting to them? Squirrels. They love them. It's what keeps them going through the winter. I know, because I put all of the ones that fell off my tree there that I'm talking about, I put them all in a big pile over off the side there where they weren't in the way. And the squirrels have just kept a path beat out, going back and forth to that pile of hickory nuts all winter long. I made them a big old cache of food for the winter. They eat them. They'll just chew them right up. Everything benefits from the fruit of a tree. And it brings it forth in his season. You know, and that's probably one of the more important parts of this matter of what a tree benefits, folks. There's a season when the fruit's ready. There's a season when those apples on a tree benefit those possums down here in my yard. It ain't in the summertime. Now you can see the fruit on that tree in the summer. You can look up in that hickory tree and see the hickory nuts in that tree during the summer. But they're not ready yet. And then, you know, a lot of times we put the cart before the horse when it comes to serving the Lord or being fruitful in the way we think He expects us to be. And we skip parts of it that are important. That fruit has to be on that tree for a certain amount of time before it's ready to be consumed. Or, you know, even the seed that's inside that fruit ain't even ready until it's on there, on that tree, for a certain period of time. It brings forth His fruit in His season. Not the apple tree down the road season. It brings it forth in His season. That hickory tree drops its hickory nuts late in the fall. Everything else is already done. The apples are done, the pears are done, the peaches are done. Everything's done, but not the hickory nuts. That they come later. And God made it that way to sustain the things that a hickory nut's supposed to sustain. Those squirrels will get up there. Wyatt was telling me the other day, and it's comical, because it'll hold on to those hickory nuts in that tree. There's a few that are just like the last of the Mohicans hanging on up there. And them squirrels will get up there in the tree, and they'll jump up and down on that branch and knock them off. And they'll go down there and get them and take off with them. They were on there for that squirrel at the last part of winter when he's done ate everything that he saved and it's all gone. There's still a few hickory nuts on the tree. I wonder if that's like their ramen noodles. But there they are, up there in that tree in the dead of winter here, right in the hardest time of winter. There's still something up there for them. And it's still good. It ain't laid on the ground and rotted. It's hung on that tree. Brings forth his fruit in his season. Every one of us sitting in here are in a different stage of growth, physically and spiritually. You know, there's things that a little sapling produces, like pretty leaves in the fall. Even a small tree that might not produce much fruit will still put off some pretty leaves in the fall. There is something that you do contribute as fruit. It's just not your season to produce the other thing yet. And there's a lot of folks that waste their life not producing the fruit that they're supposed to produce in that season because they're wishing they could produce something else. They waste their life chasing after something, uprooting themselves and moving from here to there, back and forth. And they don't, at the end of the line, they're stunted and they're not producing fruit. And they're not a real blessing to very many folks around them or anything spiritually. They're still needing others' fruit to sustain them because they're not, they've spent their life not bearing their own fruit in their season. And we need to remember that. All of what we've talked about so far affects that part of it. And then it says, his leaf also shall not wither. You know, long before an apple tree produces apples, it produces leaves. It's the sign of life. You know, when you go out there in the summertime, it's harder in the winter because there ain't no leaves on anything. But in the summertime, it's pretty easy to see which one of the trees has died in the winter. All these ash trees that have died, you can always tell what ain't going to, you know, well, it didn't make it through the winter when all the leaves come out because they don't have any. And, you know, that's what he was talking about here in this matter of withering. Its leaf shall not wither. You know, a little sprout, that's the most vulnerable time that it has in its life. You know, it can go either way. It sprouts up there and he might make it, he might not. If he's in the woods beside my house, there's a real good chance he's not going to make it because I'm going to cut it down. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, we were talking about this with some people yesterday about how the matter of God's will for your life and how that you spend a lot of time running around trying to figure out what it is when really he just wants you to grow. There's a lot of growth that has to happen before a tree can be cut down and used for lumber or before it can bear fruit to benefit a lot of people. I mean, you can't take a small little tree and cut it down and make something out of it. It really, it's not, it just needs to grow. And, you know, if you've got a fruit tree and you're trying to get it past that tender stage, you do things to build, you build things around it to keep the deer from eating the leaves off of it because it'll kill it. The leaves are the fruit. It's just life. You know, and these kids, you know, you see these little ones that come and then they have a tender heart towards the Lord. And they want to do right and all that. That's some leaves there. That's a sign of life. You know, it's, you know, I think that through the years, this whole matter of, you know, the easy believism kind of doctrine that's been pushed on our, in through our churches to get these little kids to make a profession of faith when they're little bitty. And I know that there's a lot of people who'd be very upset with me for saying this, but it's not for the peace of mind for the child. It's for the peace of mind for the parent. Yes. As long as they can say, well, now I remember when the child might not even remember when they prayed that prayer, but the parent does. And it's just so that they can feel better about their kid not going to hell. Yeah. And then they can go on with their life. And you don't build anything around that. As a matter of fact, you're telling that little sprout that all right, now, you know what a Christian's supposed to produce now, right? More Christians. That's fruit. Here we go. Now, where's your fruit? And the next thing you know, you've done discouraged that little sprout. You pulled all its leaves off. You took the fruit that it was supposed to have, that it was producing, and you turned it into something that wasn't important. You made that little child feel like that their fruit wasn't important to God because it wasn't what you wanted. Why do you think so many of them quit? Go somewhere else. Brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If the conditions are right and the proper care is taken for a little tree, it will do what God made it to do. It can't help but do what God intended for it to do, and that is to just grow and thrive. And if the right fertilizer's put on it and the ground's tended around it and even the pruning is done on it like it should be done, and that tree will produce fruit way sooner than if it's just let grow feral out there. You know, she'll be like a tree. There's so many things you could talk about being like a tree. It's kind of fascinating to me that God covered the earth with them. You know, we've read the statistics before about how many billions of pounds of seeds that the little birds eat in a winter. And even the Bible references it, you know, hey, I feed the birds. Where do you think all that comes from? Well, a whole bunch of it comes from trees. You know, the benefits that they bring to things that you might not even think matter. It sure matters to that little bird. You know, there's a lot of people that the fruit of your life, even the stuff you think might be insignificant, it matters exponentially to them. And you don't even know it. You know, there's things that just being planted and finding that water and meditating in that law day and night, you know, produces things from your life and my life that somebody else is dependent on. You might not know it, but they are. That's why it's important to be like that tree that he's talking about. To find the reason, find the ways in God's word that makes you spiritually be like that tree. A lot of folks depend on you, like a tree.